You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast, and really looking forward to it this week. It's a biggie. The Players Championship coming up at Sawgrass is the main feature of our podcast this week. Very much looking forward to this tournament, one of the most prestigious tournaments of the entire golfing year. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair and joined as ever on the podcast by Dave Tindall. Dave, how are you?
I'm very well, Sam. Yeah, really looking forward to this week. A big old event with a ridiculous purse, as we've just been discussing.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, really. When I was doing my notes for this event, obviously, as we know, the Players outside of the majors is the tournament that's held in the absolute highest regard, but it's also the one that is the biggest purse all year. I think it was $12.5 million last year, which took it above the US Open. It's now $15 million this year. So you'll be getting a few quid if you can navigate Sawgrass this week.
That's a lot of inflation percentage-wise.
I know, yeah.
It's more than I get as a percentage rise as a freelancer. I don't think it ever goes up.
And you'd think once they'd got to the title of having the biggest purse in golf, they wouldn't need to extend it then, unless the US open up their game. Then
possibly, what do they know? I don't know, but yeah. Although, as you said, how much money do these guys need?
I know. Exactly. I've seen amounts of money, but there you go. These are the very best in the world, and it's a stellar field as well, as you might expect. We'll get on to Sawgrass a little bit later on in the podcast. Some quick reflections on last week, first of all, though. Bay Hill was just brutal, Dave, particularly that final round. Only four players ended the tournament with an under par score. Tyrrell Hatton winning on the PGA Tour for the first time, having previously only won on that European tour. I'm sure that was one in the eye for Paul Azinger.
That was in the stars, wasn't it?
Yes,
the Europeans should win immediately after he came out with that. Yeah. So that was a nice little twist.
Yes, it certainly was. And had to play well down the stretch, Tyrrell Hatton, because, as I say, conditions were just brutal for that last round.
Yeah, you're normally at Bay Hill, it's a little bit easier than the Honda Classic, where it's always windy, but Bay Hill, the winning scores, you know, being 15, 18
into the teens,
under.
Yeah.
But this time, it was just wow, and it was just, you know, par was a good score on every hole, and you're kind of thinking, I mean, as we said, I put up Harris English last week, I think at 100s or maybe 80s or 100s, yep. 90s, something like that, and he seemed to be getting the each way money, but with that I was always thinking he's one hole away from this, you know, he's hanging on here and he can't afford any. Then he took a 6 on a par 5 and suddenly finished tied 9th, the old, you know, dagger to the heart of the each way better when he finishes one shot outside the places. So good run for me money with that one, but ultimately disappointing. But it really plays for Tyrrell Hatton because he's so hard on himself, isn't he? You
can
imagine
he's
almost looking for the reason why he can explode and go, he almost couldn't believe he got it done, but great for him. What a win.
Yeah, definitely so. Obviously, commiserations with Harris English. Well, and to DK as well, who got a full place with Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, he stayed on well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Bit of Cheltenham talk there.
Yeah, absolutely, because he did look tailed off after the first two rounds. And even at the turn in the last round, he was one of the only players that down the stretch was able to find birdies, really, because, you know, he came from an impossible position, really, to get a place.
Yeah, he got fourth place. As you said, only four players shot under par, and at halfway thinking, well, he can't be one of them if the weather stays like this.
Yep.
But a really, you know, chin out, take it on, you know, performance from Bryson DeChambeau, and I think he might be popular this week as well.
Yes, he's very much on my mind this week, actually, is Bryson DeChambeau. Anyone else catch the eye last week at Bay Hill? Obviously, anyone who managed to finish under par in the conditions, obviously, had a good week.
Yeah, with those events like last week, there's a theory that obviously if you finished well or you played all four rounds and you've had a good week, and therefore, is that a big help for this week? Or do you take the idea that you've been buffeted around so much in the wind and, you know, maybe your swing's got off kilter, you're having to sort of manufacture shots. Is it an advantage to have skipped last week, to have sat with your feet up in the sun somewhere and just watched it on TV?
Yeah.
That's always something to take. you know, down the years, this has always been a thing. I've never quite worked out which is which. It's probably, you know, individual cases.
Yes.
But it's something to think about. Certainly, you could argue, if you back someone who didn't play last week, you could certainly take the angle that that was a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And we better mention the other events as well in Qatar. Jorge Campillo prevailing in a playoff there on the European Tour last week.
Yes, against David Drysdale, who I think is now nearing 500 events without a win.
Really?
So that was probably the closest he's ever going to get. Campillo is a strange one. This time last year was in brilliant form and then just went off the boil completely. And you're thinking, how did he... You know, why is that sudden turnaround? And it showed a little hint here and there, but then this event in Qatar was played at a new course. Again, that's another one for punters to try and work out. The tournament this year moved to Education City from Doha Golf Club. And you're thinking, well, does that ruin all previous tournament form? And yet Campillo was runner-up last year at the old course.
All right, okay.
So it kind of, you know, you could argue they were played in the same city. So.
Yes.
It's a windy place, but it was a different course. But at least we've got 1 year at Education City. I think it's going to stay there. So.
Right, okay.
But certainly, yeah, you can sometimes overplay it and say, oh, right, that's all past course form has gone.
Gets out the window.
But obviously there will be some similar traits. It's a bit like Sawgrass this week. There's a lot of times this event was played in May, and then last year they switched it to March, and that seems to be a lot of people thinking that's quite a big... Even though it's 2 months,
yep.
Just the way the course plays could be quite a big thing.
Mm.
So maybe last year's course form maybe counts for more than it did when it was played
years.
In May.
Yeah. Okay, a very interesting one. Let's turn our attention on to this week's event, of course, the Players' Championship, a tournament held in very high regard, as we know, only eclipsed by the majors in terms of prestige, eclipsed by nothing in terms of financial reward. Probably fair to say it's the strongest field that's assembled all year, Dave, given that you get obviously various exemptions for the majors and, you know, there's a bit of nostalgia. We have some of the older guys coming back to play for the majors. But this is probably, pound for pound, the best field you get on tour all year.
I think I read that 110 of them have won on the PGA
Tour. Wow, really?
Wow. That's
incredible,
yeah, there's very few make weights in this field.
Yeah.
The only person of any note is missing is Tiger.
Tiger, yeah.
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 Which is a worry if you've... You know, got an anti-post button in for the Masters. You're thinking...
This seems a strange tournament to skip, isn't
it?
Yeah,
even last week, Bay Hill weighed 1-8 times.
Yeah.
You're thinking that and this week. Mm. I'm sure in his ideal world, he would have liked to have played those, maybe got a 20th and a 10th and
sure.
Have that bill, but with nothing in the bank. It's a big ask. It's a worry for Tiger backers, I think.
Yes, very much so. Obviously, as we mentioned right at the top, the highest purse in golf these days, overtaking the US Open last year, and a prize fund of $15 million up for grabs this year. Played at TPC Sawgrass, has been since 1982, so there's course form in abundance. Although, obviously, as Dave pointed out earlier on, interesting that they did make the move, the tournament from May to March last year. Plays to a par of 72, Sawgrass, measuring in at 7,189 yards. Before we get stuck into the betting and some of the contenders, some of our fancies for this week, talk us through the course a little bit, Dave. An iconic venue, what are some of the key characteristics at Sawgrass?
Yeah, so it's obviously, it's a Florida track, so it has those elements. There's a lot of water in play, a lot of potential for double bogeys. You know, obviously the 17th is the one that you think of, the island green, where... In theory, it's not a hard shot, but if it's windy and just that in your head, you can see so much water and like you...
Feels like you've got a small target to aim
at. Yeah, in your sort of line of vision. So you will see a lot of double bogeys this week. And then, as I said, that switch to March. A lot of player quotes last year, they were saying it did make a difference because in May, obviously sunnier weather, is a lot more hard and bouncy and a bit fiery in the fairways. And it was... In March, they kind of, without getting too dull about grass, sort of, what's the word, agrimology, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, agriculture, but I can't think of the
one
knowledge.
Of
yeah. So sometimes golf chat can descend into kind of like Alan Titchmarsh-esque, talking about the various different grass.
But
it's important, but...
Yes, it is important because they... agronomy?
Agronomy?
No,
that doesn't sound right.
No, something like that.
Grass expertise.
Yeah. Green-fingered expertise. But they overseed it, the Bermuda, so it just the whole basically what you need to know, it just plays slower
okay
in March, and therefore it's not going to bounce as fast off the fairway. So it seemed to be last year you could hit driver more because it's not going to ping out into the rough as easily. And then it was just a little bit easier playing from the rough as well. People were hitting more greens in regulation. So if you're a big hitter, I think March is a slightly preferable time to play it than May. Although it's not the be-all and end-all, but it's a little just thing to think about as well.
Yeah. You definitely do need a variety of skills, obviously, to master this course. But as you say, you know, sort of ball striking ability quite high on my mind this week as well.
Fast greens as well. Yeah. So you need some nerve. I've been looking at some of the trends, and I did notice just the last 5 years, four of the last five winners were in their 20s. So maybe it's become a bit of young man's nerve needed for some of this test.
Okay. The betting is as follows. Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favourite. John Rahm, 12-1. Justin Thomas is 16-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 22-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 25-1. 28-1 for Dustin Johnson. Patrick Cantlay, 28-1. Sung Jae Im is 28-1. 30-1 and bigger. The rest were 50 odds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 with each way bets this week. Want to start by talking about Rory McIlroy. One immediate negative, I suppose, for McIlroy is that no one has ever successfully defended the players. He won it last year, but no one has ever gone back-to-back. We've had multiple winners, but none have ever done it back-to-back. Hard to imagine, though, really, how anyone else could be favoured ahead of him this week. He's just looked in great form over the past couple of weeks, and the win looks around the corner. It looks a matter of, if not when the next win's going to come, or when not if, rather.
Yeah, he's top five every week, hasn't he? He has been for a long, long time, and you almost can pencil him in again this week, unless something strange happens. But I think when you talk about no one's defended it, you look at players' records at, say, the Masters, and the best players top 10 every year.
It's
one year they might challenge heavily, but other times they'll get a backdoor top 10, and it's all like 5th, 7th, 8th. But you look at players' record at Sawgrass, and there's miscuts quite common in there. Yeah, Rory used to miss this cut a lot.
Right.
And there's no one can seem to get a real kind of run of, top 10 every year, isn't it? It's very unusual for that. So I think it's because you have to, so many parts of your game have to be performing. So if one of them's off, you can't just come here and whack driver off the tee.
Yeah.
You have to play all sorts of different shots. And then the element of the wind and more water, there's just more things that can go wrong, I think. So it can be a tricky one to call this event. So I've tried to sort of nail it down with some of the trends. And you say you've got two picks too, which is quite exciting.
Yes, it's a rarity for me. Usually when I present the podcast, I try and duck the issue when it comes to selections.
Yeah, not up to me.
Yeah, exactly, I put up Bubba Watson a few weeks ago and he duly missed cut. So I can only go one way from there. Hopefully. How many picks have you got this week?
Well, I've got three.
You've got three, I've got two. Yeah. So we'll kick off with your first pick then.
Okay, yeah. So some of the things I've mentioned, winners in the 20s. One other thing I noticed when at previous winners was they played well in the previous Florida events.
Okay.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You've kind of set out your store, got in a good one on another Florida track, which have similar traits. And then they've used that. For example, McIlroy was sixth at Bay Hill before he came to win here. Webb Simpson, when he won a couple of years ago, I think he'd had a fifth and an eighth in previous Florida events that same season. Ricky Fowler as well. Jason Day had won in Florida that same season. So it does seem to be, if you've had a little bit of success in Florida so far, I think that just takes you up a level. So one I noticed that, he's the right age. He's 26. He's played well in Florida this season. He was fourth at the Honda Classic. Played well for the previous two events as well. Pebble Beach, fifth. Phoenix Open, ninth. Daniel Berger.
Okay.
Who we've got, I think, at 66-1.
Yes, we do. 66.
66-1, Daniel Berger. Basically, he's getting better every week. 38th, 29th, 9th, 5th, 4th. There, his last five starts. Then he comes to Sawgrass. He's not got an amazing record, but he's made his last four cuts there. He was ninth. He's got a ninth in the bag, which I think is good. So that shows he can tackle the course. Ninth in 2016. As I say, that recent nice run in Florida. I just think he's a player in really, really solid form. And that's really important. It's hard to find your game at Sawgrass, I think. So he's someone who's not just done it for a week and then missed the cut the week. He's got a real nice run, ninth, fifth, fourth, his last three starts. So I thought he was a decent value bet at 66-1.
Okay. 66-1 for Daniel Berger. Of my two picks, one I think is quite obvious and will be very popular this week. One, hopefully less so, hopefully a bit more left field.
I reckon the obvious one, I reckon he's one of mine as well.
Okay, is it Bryson DeChambeau?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it kind of speaks for himself this week. He's quite an easy one to find, 22-1. Obviously, in good form. You mentioned there you don't want to head to Sawgrass, not in good nick, to try and rediscover your game. And he couldn't come here in much better form, really. Three straight top five finishes and four top tens in his last five starts. Finished 20th here last year, so that wasn't a bad effort. And mentioned the importance of ball striking. I mean, he's just a monster off the tee in general. And he's third on tour off the tee this year and ranks top 10 tee to green, which also feels a significant statistic this week. It'd be hard not to find him almost, Bryson DeChambeau, this
week.
Yeah,
I think so. And I honestly was expecting him to be in the teens.
I thought he might be a bit skinny in 22s.
16s, 18s, something like that. But 22s seems more than fine. As you say, 20th last year, which I think is fine. It's 37th the year before. So he's, without really showing he's, got to grips with his course, I think he's done enough to show that next time he plays it, that could be the one.
It's trending in the right direction, isn't
exactly,
he, on the course?
Exactly, yeah. You mentioned his off the tee prowess. He's bulked up, didn't he? Put on whatever 20 pounds over the winter, and now you look at the driving distance stats each week. He's ranked first in his last two, ranked first in driving distance at Arnold Palmer and then in Mexico. So, I mean, it's not all about just clubbing it off the tee. He's clearly got other elements working really well too. And yeah, I can't see a hole in the argument for him, to be honest. He's the right age. I think he's 26 as well.
Right. Yeah.
So everything looks good for Bryson DeChambeau. So, yeah, I'm glad we're both on him.
Indeed. Whilst this isn't a major, obviously, the only slight kind of caveat I had, his record in majors hasn't been quite as impressive for a man of his ability. I know this isn't a major, but it's almost on the same echelon. He hasn't quite delivered in absolute massive tournaments.
Yeah, you could say his big event record is scratchy, but obviously...
It's not terrible, but it should be better for a man.
Yeah, a lot of them, when they're young, who've had a number of wins already, the kind of strong record in the major marries that. But his is about, oh, right, well, that's not so good. But obviously, last time, he was runner-up in the WGC event in Mexico. So hopefully that's put that to bed a little bit. I just think in his current form, I'd back him anywhere.
Yes, indeed.
And if the price was right, and I think we're lucky almost to get this price. I know there's a lot of the best in the world here, but I just think I'd rather have a nice price and back him at like 8-1 in a poor field.
Yeah, sure.
I just think he's going to play great.
Indeed. Bryson DeChambeau then, a strong selection from both of us. I'll come on to my final pick then, a little bit shorter now than when I jotted my notes down.
Right.
I was hoping for a triple figure price, but he's into 80-1 now.
Oh, right. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, player who played well last week, Joel Dahman.
Ah, right, yes.
He's going to be the selection. I was very impressed with his final round last week. One of the very few men who managed to shoot under par on the Sunday. He ended up tied fifth. That's now back-to-back fifth-placed finishes for him. Obviously, we're paying six places here, so a reproduction would be enough to get the each-way money. Clearly in good form. He played really well on debut here last year to finish 12th. The record for debutants at Sawgrass is pretty appalling. So the fact that he's had a spin here, played well on debut last year, I'd hope that he'd come on for the run, if you like, and be able to show a bit of improvement this time around. I guess the negatives, he's hardly a prolific winner on tour. So you're not that the win bet's being thrown away here, but I think you're relying more on the place. His two wins have come on the PGA Tour Canada. I can only imagine what Paul Azinger thinks of that particular tour. And both of those wins were way back in 2014. But he was second at Quail Hollow last season in the Wells Fargo. And that usually attracts a quality field. So
a lot of major winners have won that event. Yeah.
So he's shown in the past, with his run at Bay Hill last week and at Quail Hollow before, he is capable of playing in big fields. He doesn't need a Mickey Mouse event for him to hit the frame. So he's already shown that he can mix it against high-class opposition. And I mentioned tee to green stats earlier on. He's 11th on tour this year, tee to green. So that was another positive. And I liked him more at 125-1, but 80-1 still.
It's quite a chunk, isn't it?
Sizable. It's, yeah, it is.
It's been popular with people.
Yeah. Well, it went 125-1 to 100-1. And I thought, oh, that's fair enough. But they've trimmed him again into 80-1 now. So a good run here last year. Has the kind of game that... that I think is going to be useful this week. And off the back of two straight tied fifth efforts, I think.
Yeah, good form.
Could be decent at 80-1.
Yeah, very good.
Who are you going to round off the portfolio with, Dave?
I just wondered if Tyrrell Hatton winning might just give the Euros a little bit of a, you know, wow, Tyrrell's winning, you know, almost, let's really stuff it down Azinger's throat and have another one in this event. Obviously, you'd look at Rory's an obvious one, John Rahm as an obvious one. Tommy Fleetwood could have won. I mean, that's what prompted Zinger to say that.
It was Fleetwood's collapse at the Honda Classic started the whole thing.
And then Fleetwood missed the cut last week, just completely out of sorts. But I think that was just some sort of rebound. Yeah. It was bad. Almost, you could argue that he might have been just as well missing the windy weekend and can regroup and kick on again from here. So Sawgrass is a Tommy Fleetwood sort of course, without doubt, ball striking. So he's worth a look at 25s. But the one I stopped on was Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
At, I believe, is he... Where is he? 60s, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. 60-1, yeah. He was another one who... Well, he probably had the best Sunday of anyone last week at Bay Hill.
Yeah, I sort of, you know, one for the notebook when he was playing well. So, shot a 69 there to finish ninth at Bay Hill. As I've said earlier on, I'm looking for maybe players in their 20s who have played well in Florida so far. So 25-year-old Matt Fitzpatrick, ninth last week, immediately ticks that box. So I do like the European angle, the fact that Hatton won and it's kind of a bit of a theme. And his stats just seem to marry up well with what you need to do well. He was very accurate. Hits it a little bit further than you think these days. His greens and reg numbers were good. I think maybe what stopped me backing him last week is putting's just been a little bit off. Normally we think of Matt Fitzpatrick as someone who just can hold putts and that's a thing he finds quite easy, but he had some decent putting numbers last week, so that was a little bit of return to form. So maybe on greens that aren't exactly the same but they're fast, and I think maybe once that confidence in the putter has come back to add to the other parts of his game, I think things could be, the planets could be aligning. The obvious worry if people say, oh, well, that all sounds good, but what's his course form like? His course form isn't very good, unfortunately. Right. Missed his first two cuts, then 46 and 41st. If you kind of, I'm trying to explain it away a little bit, Rory missed his first three cuts here.
Yeah.
So it does take a bit of learning. So he's had four goes at it. He's actually, he's gone from miscut, 46, 41st. He's going in the right direction.
Yeah, he's getting
albeit
better.
Slowly.
Yes.
But if you look at his round scores, he's actually broken par. The par is 72. He's broken par in six of his last seven rounds at the course. That's no mean feat. He just hasn't found a sort of low one. They've all been like 70 or 71.
Yeah.
So I think it's there. I think the prep's there. It just needs to maybe get in a 67 or something one round and think, I can really conquer this course. But I think his form's going in the right direction. He was runner-up in Abu Dhabi earlier this year. Has played well in big events in America as well. I see no reason why he can't continue the European charge a little bit this week. At the prices, he's the one who I thought, you know, if he was 40s or 33s.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, no. But at 60s, I think he's a very, very capable golfer, knows how to win. He's good in contention. If you backed him any time, he's good in contention. You know, he doesn't just flake away. He's had a lot of second places of late, an awful lot of second places. So I've just got a sneaky feeling maybe when he does end that run of seconditis, it might be with a big one.
And as you say, it would just be it'd be great to see another European winning a big one on the PGA Tour. There was one other man for me that came close, but I ended up going away from him. Myself and DK were having a chat out in the office, actually. And Morikawa,
yes,
50-1. He's been playing in some really good form over the past couple of weeks. And again, tee to green has been pretty exemplary over his last few starts. There were a couple of reasons that put me off. I mentioned a little bit earlier on the record of people just don't win on debut here at Sawgrass. Debutants do tend to struggle a little bit. And with that in mind, his price of 50-1, he's probably one that's a bit tight in the lineup this week. I know the potential's there.
Yeah.
And as we saw, we saw with Hovland last year as well and Wolf as well, they don't want to leave a big price on the board about these upcoming youngsters. So I get why he's 50-1, but I wasn't sure with the debutant's record at Sawgrass, whether he was a player at 50-1. But I could see him having a decent week. He seems to have
that kind of thing.
Yeah, indeed. He seems to have the game for this track, if anything.
And again, back to he's in his 20s. He finished ninth last week in a Florida event. Yeah. There's some good things in his favour. Just maybe that strong trend of winning first time on this course might hurt him a little bit. But 50-1, it's an each way price, isn't it?
I suppose so, yes. Were there any others that came close to making the list for you, Dave?
I think right at the front, I think if I had to pick between one of the absolute cream of the crop, McIlroy, Rahm and Thomas, I think Thomas at 16s slightly floats my boat more than Rory at 7s.
Okay.
You mentioned Rory. He's the defending champion. No one has done that before. So I think Thomas might have a bit more of a free hit at this. Slightly more. I mean, there's some funny prices around that. Dustin Johnson, 28s. When have we last seen that in a tournament? I can't think of when that could have been in recent times. Webb Simpson has won here a couple of years ago, won again recently. I think Ricky Fowler's going in the right direction.
He's a previous winner here as well, isn't he?
Yeah. And I've been reading some quotes because I think he's definitely billed into the Masters. I think last week he kicked on a bit from his previous form. And I think he could certainly place this week at 35s. Again, you've got Brooks Koepka at 40s. That's
it seems unbelievable, isn't it?
The strangest one is Justin Rose, who I have to keep
66-1
scrolling
Justin
down
Rose.
To find him. Yeah,
I mean we really must be talking. It must have been like a decade since he's gone off of that kind of price.
It's just bizarre, isn't it? It's like it's not Justin Rose; it's his brother or something, but. Obviously, it's for a reason, and that reason being his form has just dived. He's missed a cut last week, but missed it by a mile, 73, 77.
Yeah.
So something's not right, but eighth last year here.
Yeah, positives there.
If he finishes in a place, you'd think, oh, wow, 66.
Yeah, yeah,
if you just back purely on, he shouldn't be
the name,
you could certainly... If that's your approach, you could say, well, I'm going to back DJ, Koepka and Rose because I'm backing the idea of class is permanent rather than form is temporary kind of thing. And you might get paid out. I almost, of the big, big names, I almost looked at Jason Day at 70s.
Right.
He won this a few years ago, 2016. Missed a couple of cuts recently, but I think he pulled out last week. He's so injury prone, isn't he?
Yeah.
He seems to anything... it isn't right, but again, if he does make the starting line, it's just again that price of 70 is sort of crazy big for what we're used to.
Indeed,
but there's so many to go at, isn't there? I mean, this is a field full of winners, and you put your money down, you take your chances, but
absolutely,
hopefully between us there. Well, we've got four between us, haven't we?
We have.
DeChambeau doubled.
Yes. I'll reiterate my selections first, then we'll get Dave's as well. Point each way for Bryson DeChambeau for me this week at 22-1, and half a point each way on Joel Dahman at 80-1. I also noticed an odd bit of symmetry between my two selections this week, Dave. Can you tell me the similarity between Bryson DeChambeau and Joel Dahman, other than the fact they're both American? I mean, they've got a lot in common. They're both American golfers, etc. But something visually about those two on the course that they share and not a lot of other players do.
Clothing, hats.
It's to do with hats, yeah.
Yes.
They both wear what I would consider non-standard hats.
Right.
Obviously, DeChambeau favours the flat cap, and Dahman wears almost like a bucket hat,
bucket,
doesn't he?
Yeah. Big Stone Roses fan, apparently.
Is he?
<Not really.
laughs> So, not that strange hats is a good trend this week, but I noticed my two players will have different headwear than anybody else.
Yeah, if you're not sitting too near the telly, just look at their heads.
Yes, exactly. Remind us of your selections then, please.
Yeah, so what did you have on DeChambeau?
Point each way, DeChambeau.
Point each way. Yeah, I'll have a point each way on him as well. I think, as it's a big one, I'll keep the stakes the same on the other two.
Okay.
So I'll go a point each way on Matt Fitzpatrick at 60. And a point each way on Daniel Berger at 66.
Good stuff. There we are then. Hopefully there are going to be some winners and some places in there. With six places each way on the players this year, the 2020 edition getting underway on Thursday at Sawgrass. And do check out the full range of betting as well on the William Hill website. We've got loads of supporting markets as well as the outrights. And of course, getting ever closer to the Masters as well now.
And obviously we should have had the Kenya Open this week, but it's... fell victim to the coronavirus. So
is that right?
Yeah, they called it off last week.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a concern, isn't it? I, I'm glad we've had the California kind of events in America, because Indian Wells tennis got called off.
Yeah, it did, yeah. And they've been quite cautious with sporting events. For those who don't know, I'm a big Wolves fan, but our Europa League game against Olympiacos is being played behind closed doors, and they only have like 60 cases in Greece.
Yeah.
So they're being quite preemptive with it. And of course, Serie A has been locked down for the season, hasn't it, in Italy?
I mean, you don't know what Trump's going to do, do you? I mean, no. It's fake news. It's not happening. I think it is happening.
Yeah.
But Indian Wells been called off as a surprise, because I thought they would just carry on regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
I did wonder with, obviously, it's about lots of people in the same space.
Yes.
I did wonder with golf, it's such a big playing area.
Big expanses, aren't they? Yeah, yeah.
You could dot people around a bit more. I don't know. But we'll see. Anyway, hopefully,
yes,
the players will go ahead, and hopefully we found some decent bets.
Yes, and fingers crossed we'll be it. We'll be back for more golf chat next week. Dave, thank you. A pleasure as always, and good luck with the selections at Sawgrass this week.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.